I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus as we seek his presence that we might worship our God as he calls us to in spirit and in truth. And I must apologize for the delay for those of you who were here early-ish, but many of us have been coming in soon just the last little while, so I think we're all understanding of one another for this morning. Very warm welcome to a number of visitors with us, and perhaps I can go through, I will go through in particular one or two. We have several brethren from Korea with us, and just for a very brief visit, and I'll introduce our preacher from Korea a little later on in the service. But I'd also like to make special mention, I think others visiting will bear that in mind, Finlay and Christine McKenzie, who are working with our service to overseas students in Glasgow. And it's a delight to have them as long-standing friends of ours, and in honour of the work that you've been doing. And it's great to see you beside Koreans today as you meet with many and other Asians as well. And perhaps you'll have a few moments that you might be able to speak together afterwards. So, just by a brief welcome and introduction, just those things this morning. With regard to activities of the congregation and other things for your attention, as always, there are a number of things printed for you on the service sheet, especially on page 2, a few things to be highlighted, and perhaps in particular this evening, the meeting will be in the manse rather than here, but obviously everyone is welcome to join with that. It's the same time as usual, 6:30 p.m. So that's one thing in particular to notice, and otherwise please do read what is printed out and make use of these things, both for your prayers and your diaries. I think these are the main things I need to mention at this particular point. We come for the worship of God. Remember, as the words of the prophet, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." The very things that the Lord requires from us in his worship, he also provides. And it is in the light of that, and we turn to sing his praises. We sing together Psalm 93, a psalm that speaks of the great majesty and the glory of God. Psalm 93 on page 123. And it's over the page as well. We'll sing the whole psalm. "The Lord is King. His throne endures, majestic in his height. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength and might. The world is founded firm and sure. Removed it cannot be. Your throne is strong, and you are God from all eternity." And we'll sing through to the end of the psalm, 93, page 123. We'll stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together as well.
The Lord is King, his throne endures, majestic in his heart. Thank you.
pray together. How thankful we are, O Lord our God, that you set these words before us and upon our lips, that we should be brought to this place, that we acknowledge your great majesty, and that all things are founded upon you, and that as we read even of the eternal Word that became flesh and lived among us, without him nothing was made that is made. It's for this reason, O Lord, that we hear that word of the prophet. How can it be otherwise? But where your house is filled with holiness, we also must come, seeking to be holy. Come in a way that is fitting for your glorious presence, that we will be affected deep in our hearts, that what we do today as we gather in this way will not merely be outward, but there will be that even anguish of spirit and a searching and a stretching, a thirst, a hunger for your own presence and for a true spirit. We give thanks, O Lord, for your promises that where even a few are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are present, and that your spirit will bear witness with our spirit that not only are you the eternal, majestic, sovereign Lord, but you are a loving Father in heaven, a Father who knows our needs, who knows that we are dust, who knows our weakness, and is gracious to provide. We give thanks, O Lord, that you have provided so richly in the past, and even today you have provided our daily bread before we ask. We give thanks, O Lord, above all, that you have sent your gospel, and as we're reminded today, sending it to the ends of the world. And as we remember through our Korean brethren today, your word, your name, your glory has been lifted up already when this day began. And we commend it to you, O Lord, and commend your people for your mighty working through to the end of this day as it continues to the setting of the sun. We pray, O Lord, that as we think on these things and the turning of the days, we remember too that great promise of yours that as far as east is from the west, without limit, so far you remove sin from men who come unto you through faith in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that each of us will know that this morning and be turned all the better, that we will acknowledge that truly you have seen fit to leave a blessing, that all that we might offer today, our very lives themselves, is your gift and is to your honor and to your praise. So we pray, O Lord, that as we are gathered in this way, you will lead us in all that we do, that we will be ready to be led, that we will have that hearing ear and understanding heart, and rejoice that in the midst of all things, you are without change, both in your might and in your grace. We commend ourselves unto your mercies and pray that you would graciously receive us now, cleansing us as you forgive. And as we read your law, may it be truly that that measure of thanksgiving, and that we take hold of these things, having the full assurance of faith, having the assurance of your forgiveness, of all our shortcomings, of all our sins, and that in this too, the glory will only be yours. These things we pray, O Lord, that we may be heard in and through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We do turn now to read and to hear the law of God, that rule of thankfulness for our lives, as it was given first and in the summary of the moral law in what we know as the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. God having delivered the people of Israel, God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of God. May he grant his blessing, applying it to our hearts, that we might have understanding. And now let us make response to reading and hearing again God's law in that way by turning to sing together a section from Psalm 119, at section 17 on page 165. It's the verses marked 129 to 136. Psalm 119, section 17, verse 129. Your statutes, Lord, are wonderful, so I obey them from my heart. Your words, as they unfold, give light and truth to simple minds impart. With open mouth I pant and yearn to know the laws that you proclaim. And so on through to the end of that section, verse 136. Let's stand again to sing together.
Your statutes, Lord, are wonderful, so I obey them from my heart. Your words, as they unfold, is light and truth to simple minds impart. Thank you.
How often is that true of us? My eyes shed streams of bitter tears because your law is not obeyed. As we look on the world around us, both for the sake of the honor of our God and also for the good of our fellow man, what a sad thing it is that God's law so often is not obeyed. Let us also turn for our consecutive Bible reading in Genesis chapter 35 this morning. Continuing in the story of Jacob. Genesis 35, then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is, Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob any more, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. And it happened, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard about it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kirjath Arba, that is, Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So far in God's Word. And remember, perhaps just a reference there, where God spoke to Jacob more than once about how this Bethel was the place where he had appeared to him when he, Jacob, fled from the face of his brother. That was the occasion when Jacob had a vision of a ladder reaching to heaven. And he recognized that God was in that place, and so he gave it the name Bethel, or the house of God. And then those other parts where Rachel died, Benjamin was born. Bethlehem is mentioned for the first time, and then the summary, the gathering together of the names of these 12 sons of Jacob. May God set his blessing also on that portion of God's word. And now we will turn to sing once more, singing in Psalm 25. Our message this morning from Pastor Kim is concerned with Jesus as the model of prayer, in as he teaches us. And so we also have this prayer in Psalm 25. We start at verse 4, and we'll sing through the four stanzas through to verse 9. Psalm 25 at verse 4, O Lord, reveal to me your ways and all your paths. Help me to know. Direct and guide me in your truth. Instruct me in the way to go. And so we'll sing through these four stanzas, 4 to 9. Again, let's stand to sing Psalm 25. Turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Now, prayer particularly now, O Lord, is concerning your word, what we have read ourselves and what we will read and what we will study, what we will hear as it is proclaimed. We commend to you, O Lord, the ministry of your word throughout this town and a number of other churches. We pray that truly it will be effective and that as people gather in the churches, there will be that heart worship and not simply the outward form. That rending of hearts, tearing of hearts, to cry for your mercy and not simply that tearing of the garments or the outward observance of worship. We pray, Lord, for other churches in this area. We pray for the great city which we are on the edge of London. We ask, Lord, that you would make your word effective in many places. We pray, too, for our nation in a great need for a return, even as the Prime Minister has spoken of recently. We give thanks for that, but we pray that there would be an even more vigorous message going out from your people, that there is no other way unto life in all its fullness, as was brought to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that only by true faith in him and in the great love that he has poured out upon us, that it should be poured out in our hearts to be extended also to others. We pray, O Lord, for the church to which we belong, the Free Church of Scotland, and we ask, Lord, for your sustaining grace as people gather in the same way, and for the various ministries of the church. We once more commend to you our brother David Robertson in Dundee, and for the long recovery that is needed, and we pray for great wisdom, both in that in the ministry of that recovery, but also of the ministry of the gospel in that place. Commend to you Bob Ackroyd, as he has particular responsibility for them just now. We pray too for the vacant congregations, both in the presbytery to which we belong, the few that there are in Perth and in London, but we pray too, mindful of many others around the church, and we give thanks for the connection we have with the Glasgow side, the west side, just now through the Mackenzies. We pray for that presbytery and the great needs there, and we pray for the work that Finlay and Christine do, and give thanks for the years of service which they have given and for the many lives that they have touched and that have passed through and passed on and gone back to their homes. And we pray, Lord, that the seeds that have been planted will grow and bring forth much fruit, especially in such places as China and other parts of Asia and so much further afield as well. We give thanks for that, Lord, and pray that they might themselves be encouraged in fulfilling your purpose in the ministry you have given to them. We give thanks, too, for the connection we have with our Korean brethren. We pray for the ministry among us this morning, and we pray for the ministry that brings them here and the connections with the other churches. And as they go on to the Netherlands, we commend them for your guiding in all that they undertake. We give thanks, Lord, for the years that you have supplied of reviving work in the church in Korea, and for the great prospering and for the sense of indebtedness concerning the gospel and their reaching out to many parts of the world. We commend them to you and the needs of the current day and how so many other things, as we have known ourselves in this land, so many things will draw aside even those who have professed your name. We pray that there too there would be that continued turning of heart, a deep-seated reaching of your word to take hold of many, and that it would not simply be that outward form. So we seek these things, O Lord, once more, seeking your blessing among us. We pray for those who cannot be here or are absent for other reasons, such as holiday. We commend them for your care wherever they are, for those who are in particular need of healing or strength in spirit or in body. We ask, Lord, that you would refresh them, uphold them. And as there may be things that many find difficult to share with others, work in each of our hearts that we will be able to bring them to you and know that you do know our needs and that you will provide in perfection, that all things do work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So receive us, O Lord, according to that same purpose, and in all things glorify yourself among us as we seek that you would pardon sin and cleanse us all through our Lord Jesus, that we might be heard. Amen. In just a moment, I'll be inviting our brother, Pastor Kim, to be bringing God's Word, speaking on God's Word to us. But let us turn first to read in the Gospel according to Luke. We'll read the first part of this chapter, and then I would invite Reverend Lee to bring God's Word to us. So the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11. We'll read the first 13 verses. Now it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So far we read in this part of God's Word. Our preacher this morning is Pastor Reverend Nam June Kim, who is the senior pastor of Yulin Church in an area of Seoul, the capital city of Korea. And we welcome too his brethren, Elder Lee and Deacon Song, and who are supporting him in his trip at the moment, as well as being pastor of this church. Pastor Kim also teaches practical theology, or did at the last count, at Chongsin University, and perhaps doing many other things also at the moment. And we have just met this morning for the sake of the rest of the congregation, but it's a pleasure to meet you. I have known very well one of your friends, a colleague who is preaching in North London this morning, who was a classmate of mine for 3 years in the Free Church College in Edinburgh, and who, in his delightful voice, led the singing at our wedding a good number of years ago, Chung Won Su. I think I get that approximately right. So it's in connection with him that I invite you to bring God's Word to us this morning, or open up God's Word to us as we have read, and would you please lead us as we come to it this morning, Pastor Lee. Pastor Kim, sorry. And there's water there if you need it.
Thank you. I am giving the warm greetings to you with my congregation of Yelin Church. Through the kind email from your pastor, David Miller, I have come to know that he was born in Seoul, in our Korea, and he is our father has dedicated himself to work mission as a missionary from 1970 to early of 1960s. I am very grateful for the song and his dedicated to serving for our countries. And I have felt very strong intimacy with David Miller and his father. So, return to the Bible text. the prayer of Jesus recorded in Luke chapter 11 teaches a very important lesson to us, because it leads Jesus to teach his disciples the so-called the Lord's Prayer. From the text, we can notice that Jesus is praying, and his disciples who have been watching him praying are asking him to teach them how to pray. Look, Jesus 11 verse 1 said, as we read. From today's text, we can learn three things about the prayer of Jesus. The first, Jesus prayed by himself. At the times of Jesus, it was quite widespread for rabbis, the teacher of the law, to teach their own prayers to their disciples. One day, when Jesus' disciples saw Jesus praying, they started to ask questions again about his prayer. They were talking to themselves, why wouldn't Jesus teach us how to pray, even if he regards prayer very important? But even at the moment that Jesus was praying, the word praying in Greek text is recorded as participle praeskumenon, which indicates that Jesus' prayer was in continuation at the moment. Because Jesus was so into it, and looked so holy, and no one could even get close to him, they could not dare to call him and ask a question to him. That's right. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed such an earnest prayer by himself, fooling everything he has. But one may raise the question, Jesus was the Son of God, and the true substance of God by his nature. Not only that, he owed the power of God and was pure without sin, but was he also like a child in relation to obeying God? He was so full of Holy Spirit, so pure without sin. But why did he devote himself to prayer? We can answer the question in two ways. The first, his prayer life was for our benefit. Just as he received the baptism like a sinner, despite being without sin, he showed us that he could not live without prayer by showing how he served God by action in prayer. From the appearance of Jesus kneeling down in a lonely field every early morning and praying and serving, we do not see a mighty Savior who has all the power of heaven and earth, but a little child who would want to have intimacy with God and who would not let go over his hand which is holding his Father. Jesus shows his humble state by praying. He was God, but lived a life of prayer to God the Father with anguish and tears. If Jesus, despite his great power and holiness, depended on God like a child with a tear in front of him, how much more should we, who have more sins and defects, cling to God? Secondly, Jesus' honest prayer life shows that the source of all the forces that am ever asked to live like God's children comes from God only. Through the events, Jesus seems to say this, "My disciple, although I am the Son of God, while I am on the earth, my power does not come from within me, but from the heavenly Father. Only by his power I can suffer every hardship and carry the cross for you." The prayer life of Jesus Christ continued until the moment he died on the cross, when he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit," according to Luke chapter 12, 3, verse 46. The last word Jesus left on the cross was also a prayer. The prayer in such an extreme moment showed that prayer had become his normal human trait over the entire period of his life. At the center of his fierce spiritual battle, we merely realize how undeserved and weak we are to cling to faith that he gave to us and to walk on the road of calling that Jesus gave to us. So it is normal that believers who put their trust in God should look often toward heaven with his teary eyes. We need to fervently hold on to God, believing that the grace of God, who helps us every moment by moment, is able to sustain us for another day. Secondly, we can learn from Jesus' prayer that it was not affected by the surroundings. The original word of the Bible in Greek records there that Jesus prayed at one place, topotini, or it can be translated in the English as at a certain place. So we can assume that the place where Jesus is praying right now may be the special place where he would normally pray. Jesus could not approach to life or settled life like us. The entire life of Jesus Christ was the life of a wandering stranger, that he volunteered to spread the gospel to the lost sheep. He worked in the vicinity of the Sea of Galilee, spread the gospel in the Samaria, and taught in Judea, Tyre, and Sidon. He went to weary and grieving souls scattered in all directions and ate, drank, and shared their pains with them. Just like his word in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, Jesus had no place to lay his head. No matter how frequently his dwelling place changed, there was no change in his prayer life. Wherever he might go, whatever hardships he faced, and whomever he was with, His prayer life did not get affected by circumstances around him, but he always stood firm and prayed. What does teach us? His life was characterized by the service of sweat and sacrifice, and his surroundings were never fit to pray. His life was not like a monk who could leisurely search for the truth by being secluded to beautiful nature. He willingly accepted to do hard works, so diligently, and sacrificed himself by going down to town in tears for those lives and deprived souls who had turned against God. In spite of all this, Jesus was praying. He was meeting with God in his prayer in the stillness that no surroundings could lay claim to. It was a sincere expression of love towards God the Father, because he knew so well the heart of the Father who had sent him into the world. He fought against all surroundings which prevented him from praying by embracing the heart of the Father. How about us? There may be a difficult situation that can prevent us from praying. But our surroundings are never on our side. When we try to pray to God in our daily life, our surroundings will present us with a lot of difficult situations. Weakness in prayership prevents us from going deep into prayer. It prevents us from praying by causing worries and snatching away the calmness of our heart. On top of it, daily labor at work, stretching from early in the morning to the late at night, takes away all the strength to prayer. Numerous conflicts and troubles happening in a family or a church also deprive us of any energy to pray. However, in spite of it, what we need to remember is that Jesus also had to fight against, endure, and overcome those difficulties that we may be now facing to live a life of prayer. Even to Jesus, prayer life also demanded the pains and the toils, we have to remember. Therefore, without a heart of a warrior who goes into battle, no one can continue to pray. By following the example of Jesus, we must resist numerous factors that prevent us from praying. Most of all, we need to keep our inner heart under control that are lazy and inclined to live in any manner one pleases. Young people have to fight against early morning sleep. All the people who are in the twilight of their lives must fight against the worries and the fears full in their heart. The young people who are easily swayed by carnal desires must persistently fight for the purity of his heart and body, and the older generation, with a lot of responsibility at home and at work, must lead their life better in grace by carrying the cross every day in order not to love the world more than God. Prayer life is difficult to anyone. Look to God whenever you are downcast. Jesus never gave up. Think about the love of Jesus who prayed for the lost souls, even in the midst of punishment on the cross, which tore his flesh and crushed his bones. Shouldn't we think about how big the grace and the love that Jesus has given to us is and follow the road that our Lord has taken? He is praying for us even at the present moment. Thirdly, from Jesus' prayer, we can learn that He prayed for a long time. We do not exactly know when the prayer began and where He prayed, but we can be sure that He prayed considerably long and lasted at least a few hours. There is evidence in the Bible. Today's text says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place when He finished. Here the finished in Greek is apausato. It means rest or having a break. It is equivalent word of Hebrew Sabbath, from which the English word Sabbath day has came from. If I translated the text one again, it would mean, after praying, Jesus took a break. This suggests that He did not pray for a short period, but for a long time. It was like such a long, hard labor that after finishing prayer, He took a break to relieve fatigue. What does this tell us about Jesus' prayer? We all agree that we need to pray to God, but many times we have a very shallow view on prayer. Jesus was the Son of God and received the power of the Holy Spirit fully without limitation. And that is why just with a short prayer, He was able to summon the power of heaven from everywhere. He could raise Lazarus from the dead with a short prayer and heal the person with deadly disease and give him a new life. The theme that Jesus could summon the power of heaven to this earth with a short prayer to reveal that He was sent from God really drew our attention. Once again, think about the power of prayer which moves the hearts of people, removes the imminent disaster and defeats Satan. A person without the power of prayer worries for many hours, but the believer solves a problem with a short prayer. There are many people in the Bible who have summoned the power of heaven to this earth through a very short prayer. Among them are Moses and Joshua, who led the people of Israelites to Canaan. With the wondrous signs of God as well as many prophets who brought God's frightening judgment or marvelous healings to Israelites. The footsteps of the apostle who succeeded, Jesus Christ, also show that prayer can manifest such amazing and great power. However, there is one thing that we need to remember. No matter how hard and sincerely we may pray for a short amount of time, God's answer and the work of grace do not accord to everybody. Those people in the Bible had devoted their entire lives to prayer, and that was why God's blessings were possible. The reason why Joshua's outcry of help, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Aijalon, praying while running on the host, was answered by God, was because he was the man who had lived his entire life in prayer up to the moment that he became a leader who would succeed Moses. How fun, vivid, and wonderful the works of Jesus could have appeared to people's eyes. However, the work of Jesus, such as returning the dead to life, raising the crippled and healing the leprosy with one word, were not because of the word that he spoke. Behind the wondrous works of Jesus, punctuated by answered prayer, lies the word of personal devotions accompanied by blood, sweat, and tears in the whole course of his life. There were long periods of daily prayer as well as beautiful commitment to prayer that he offered to God by squeezing out every ounce of effort, absolute fellowship with God in the midst of a long hour's prayer and unspeakable intimacy with him were the basis of answered prayer. We love sweet fruits God provides at the end of short prayers, but are not interested in breaking our heart to cherish the words of a deep prayer and the tear-dropping, blood-shedding, ardent self-obedience and sacrificial commitment. There are many people who would love to listen to a story about the warrior of prayer who have lived beautiful lives in front of God. But in reality, there are only few people who devoted his life to and spent long hours in prayer. What is the reason? Before we answer that, why don't we look back at our short journey of faith? At times, there have been moments when we loved God a lot, as well as moments when we did not at our times. There have been moments when we loved God so much that nothing could have come between Jesus and us, but also other moments when we opposed him. Unfortunately, our Christian's life is not a short distance race, but a long march like a marathon. That is why none of us can say we have won in the Christian living or our lives have been without blemishes and in compliance with the faith until we finish the race and go to the arms of Jesus. One thing we can be sure of is the fact that when we loved God more, we prayed more. But when we were more interested in living in this world than Jesus, we prayed less. If in your long journey of Christian living, you have not felt the need of praying, then I'm sure that your faith is not healthy. Although your faith is still in infant stage, once you are seized by God's grace, you will have a strong desire to face God one-on-one. That's why the time duration of prayer cannot be the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is not how long we pray, but the intimacy with God and the dedicate of our heart to him. A long prayer is one of the results from deep and intimate prayer with God. However, deep prayer always requires a long time. Without having to commit long hours to prayer, it is not easy to go deep into the word of prayer. Only those who have trained themselves spiritually by the prayer in which they beat themselves to submit themselves to God, and those who have tasted the secret of the word of God's grace in it can possess the word of deep and solid prayer. We need to pray more persistently and more earnestly. Everyone who has clung to God would know that. To pray like that, it is crucial to pray for a long time. What is prayer? It is a dialogue with God. In a dialogue, we could talk, but I would need to have a time to listen to another person talking. Therefore, when praying to God, we need to make an effort and have a time to open our ourselves so that the will of God can be inscribed in our hearts. Before God, who is Spirit, can come into our hearts and inscribe spiritual things, we need to pray our heart so as to go into the holy and the spiritual fellowship by feeling of the worldly sense deeply rooted in our hearts. There are many factors which prevent us from praying for a long time. Environmental factors such as health and diverse psychological causes may prevent us from praying. But the most important factor would be a spiritual one. Even though we have a time to pray to God, a lot of times we cannot pray to the fullest because we do not have the spirit of prayer to handle efficient duration of praying time. Therefore, everyone who wants to maintain the grace of prayer to God must keep the effort to guard one's heart fit to prayer. This is no shortcut. There is no shortcut to words of such a deep and rich prayer. There may be an entrance that is our heart. You would want to have a sincere heart. Therefore, an honest effort to be sincere in front of God in the time of prayer, indeed, is the secret that can take us not into man-made zeal or artificial prayer, but a deeper area of prayer. There is one more thing that we should not overlook, because prayer is a spiritual activity. Deep prayer is not possible without the help of the Holy Spirit. If we pray deeply with the help of the Holy Spirit, prayer will naturally take a long time. So people who love God more tend to pray longer. People who do not love God do not pray. This is not the issue of a form in faith. For the spirit of love toward God is one with the spirit of prayer. Conclusion. The reason why we always fail and succumb to the circumstances around us is because we do not pray enough. Jesus Christ was able to obey God and serve His children every day because He poured His heart into prayer when praying to God. Prayer makes us experience God's power when we weep. Prayer makes us experience God's provision when we lack something. Prayer makes us experience God. God's forgiveness when we have sinned. It is why we need to pray. Just as Jesus Christ prayed by giving all His heart, we should pray for our church, our family, our society, and for ourselves with all of our heart. Most of all, we should pray that the will of God be done on the earth. I beseech you to live in the full power of God in praying more honestly every day. Let's pray. Precious Lord, thank you for your grace and your word given in this morning service. As you know, we are very weak. So, eagerly we request you for your help for us. Please, let us be empowered through fervent prayer. Your Lord has loved this Cobham Church. May this church be filled with heavenly pleasure and blessings through the fervent prayer. We pray and you answer to our prayer. We always ask you for your wonderful help at every moment. We cannot live without your help. So, may this Cobham Church be loved by you and be blessed in their various ministry and their winning the souls. We pray all things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much for bringing God's Word this morning in a very profitable message that we have been reminded of today. And may we ask you, Pastor Kim, and your brethren to take the greetings of this little congregation of God's people to your own people as you return home in due course. We treasure the moments that we could have together this morning. And I'm very conscious that if I was in Korea, which I was quite some years ago, and addressing a gathering of God's people, I would need someone beside me to be understood. So thank you for bringing God's Word yourself in English this morning. We turn to draw this service to a close, first of all singing in Psalm 84 and then receiving the benediction. Psalm 84 on page 112, and we'll sing from verse 8 through to the end of the psalm, the last three stanzas of this psalm. 84, page 112, at verse 8, "Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, and receive the plea I make. Listen to me, God of Jacob, hear me for your mercy's sake." And we'll sing through to the end of the psalm, 84. Let's stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that for the benediction.
Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, and receive from Thee, our prayer, listen to me, God, your
His blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.